Teacher had to say during the about the we do the same thing, brother. We do a lot of the same things, and about there as far as the visit, we kind of go out as the welcoming committee and just let folks know we're here and welcome to the neighborhood and invite them to church and enjoyed that. I enjoyed the children. I like the children's offering. I appreciate the children. How old is Emily now? Where's she at? There, you still gonna marry me? Oh my goodness, she can't believe he said that. Now when she was little, she used to tell me, I used to ask her if she was going to marry me, and she'd say, yeah, I think she's changed her mind now though. But especially after me said it in front of everybody. How old is Miss Emily now? 9 years old. I tell you what, folks, 9-year-old children need to know that the future may be unstable, but God knows all about it, amen? And our children, they need to have an anchor. They need to have a rock. And, this old world is changing and all, but thank God there's some things that don't change. And, I love you, Pastor. I started to say preacher and started to say pastor, so I said Pastor. I love you, Pastor. He's a great preacher. He stirs me up. Now, every now and then we'll go eat lunch together. Man, I got to get my phone out and punch down some notes. He thinks a lot like I think, but he does it better. Amen. But I enjoy spending time with him. And he loves God. He loves you. And I appreciate this church. I'll be honest with you. When Brother Dixon first came over here, I wasn't crazy about the idea. First of all, I didn't want to lose him. And secondly, I didn't want him that close. Now, forgive me, but he's a good preacher, and I don't want to lose people to him. Amen? But we just worked together. God was in the whole thing. Amen? I had to get over it, and I did. And I'm just glad that every now and then he'll call me. I'll call him. We'll go eat lunch. And every now and then, not often enough, we get to ride motorcycles together I love you, preacher. Can I make a suggestion? Let me tell you something that'll help your preacher. Hey, he's already a great preacher. He's already a better preacher than I am. But he'll be a better preacher if you'll send him to Israel. I just went, and I'm gonna tell you, it'll help him. It'll be a blessing to him. Send him and his wife. It'll cost you $6,000-$8,000, but send him over there for 8 or 9 days, or a week or 10 days. It'll be a blessing. Hey, listen. He didn't ask me to say this. I'm just telling you. You've heard people say, oh, when you go over there, it just opens your eyes to Scripture. It does. It opens your eyes to some things. I encourage you to do that. I'm so thrilled. He brags on you. Do you realize that? He tells me what you do for him, and you're good to him. And I believe with all my heart, God will bless you for it. God will bless the Crossroads Baptist Church for being good to their pastor and taking good care of him. And you do, and I'm thrilled to hear that. I'm thrilled to hear that. And hey, let me throw something else out there. Don't ask him to help you move. Now, if he's helped you in the past, don't feel bad. But I'm gonna tell you something. He's getting old. Amen. I told the church here a while back. I said, a couple of things. I'm just now finally emotionally and getting. Accepting the fact that I'm 50. I told the church that, and I said, and then it dawned on me, I'm a whole lot closer to 60 than I'm 50. You know, it's taken me 10 years to get used to being 50. But you know what? If you ask him to help you, and then he'll pay the price for it. He's got a bad back, and he's got that psychotic nerve, amen, and all. Hey, you be good to your preacher. And I had a message here on, I'm just going to set it aside. But I believe God's in it. Now, I've got here my note. I tell you what, let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. That's where we're going to take our text from this morning. I don't know about you other preachers, but it seems like any time I get ready to preach, I've got three messages, at least three. I got the one that God wants me to preach. I got the one that the devil wants me to preach. And I've got the one I want to preach. Then I got to figure out which one's which. Amen. Hopefully get the Lord's. Amen. And I've got my notes here. But I tell you what, before we read our text, I'm going to do this. I've got in my notes here, it says stupid joke, okay? Stupid joke. My sister-in-law told me this stupid joke, so I'm going to blame it on her. Somebody said, how do you catch a unique rabbit? Some of you might know this stupid joke. Anybody know? Unique up on it, amen? How do you catch a tame rabbit? The tame way, amen. Now, that will, believe it or not, that silly will kind of tie into our message, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 2, we'll read verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this church. Lord, I'm glad that there's another church in Hall's Crossroads that lifts up Jesus and lifts and preaches the Word of God and has a pastor that loves his people and loves God. And Father, I pray that you'll help us, Lord. Bless Brother Dixon. Bless this church. Thank you, Father, for the progress that has been made and, Lord, the souls that have been saved and the lives that have been changed and challenged. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless now this morning. I pray that you'll bless Pastor Dixon. Bless this church for being good to him. And Father, I pray that you'll meet the need. Lord, I pray that you'll pay this building debt off this year. And God, you can do it. And Father, just bless now the message. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd fill me, that you'd enable me, Father. Lord, I pray for your help. And I pray that you'll give us clarity of thought. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let me just say, I said it would tie into the message. I said the tame way. I want to speak to you. Notice there in verse 2, it said, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I guess the thought that got me going on this message was a few weeks ago, we were able to stand on the Mount of Olives. And there's a whole lot that happened. I encourage you, just look up a tour video, a Holy Land tour video, and find a tour on the Mount of Olives and watch it. There's a whole lot that happened there. There, as you stand at the top of Mount Olives, you're standing west of the city of Jerusalem. You see the Dome of the Rock. That's where they think that the old temple was, the original temple that Solomon built. You're staring at the eastern gate. And just so much happened there. At the foot of the Mount of Olives is the Garden of Gethsemane. On the way down the Mount of Olives is the triumphal entry where Jesus rode the donkey into Jerusalem. And you know, now that I've been there and I pay more attention to, you know, for instance, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, that great verse, that familiar verse that says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. Now, I knew that's what they refer to that as the Mount of Ascension and where he ascended from, but I never realized this. But you go down about three verses later, and it says, and they went up from the Mount of Olives. They were standing there on the Mount of Olives when Jesus ascended. That's where they were at. And then, of course, you know the verse after, verse 8, verse 9, it says, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus that is taken up for you shall come in like manner. Amen. And but I never thought of this, but there, this same Jesus, right, you know, hey, when you look at where he's at, you get over to Zechariah 14, along about verse 4, you'll find that not only this same Jesus is coming back, but this same Jesus is coming back right here. Amen. Right here. The eastern gate has been bricked up. You see, along about 1500, somewhere in there, the Muslims, they got a hold of that verse in the Bible that talks about that Christ would come back, the king would come back, and he'd enter in at an eastern gate. So they bricked it up. Don't think that's going to make a whole lot of difference. Amen? Because see, Zechariah 14 says when Jesus comes back, he's going to touch the Mount of Olives. She's going to split east and west. She's going to split north and south. And when that thing splits four ways, and I think Christ is just going to kick down that gate, that bricked up gate, and go right on in. Amen? Now, but this same Jesus, and so that's kind of what got me thinking about that. The stone that the builders rejected, the same has become the chief cornerstone. And I'll speak to you this morning about some things that ought not change. Let me just say this, I don't like change, amen? I don't like to change. I go to a store, I get a certain product that I use, a certain soap, a certain shampoo, a certain type of something, and then lo and behold, Walmart stops carrying it. Amen? And I mean, you just have something, you've used it for years, it does a great job, but you know, everybody, if any sense at all, knows this, that they ought to carry this, and then they stop carrying it, amen? Or the person that makes the product, they change it or something. And I don't like change. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. When I go to Shoney's, if I'm going to eat a big breakfast out, I want to go to Shoney's, amen? I want to go get that breakfast bar, amen? I mean, I go over there, I get me a plate. They're usually hot. Your wife makes sure she's clean. You go over there, first thing you get some of them scrambled eggs. Hallelujah. And then you go on over there, and you find them those little diced up fried potatoes. Amen. Hallelujah. And then you got to, then about that time you get you some, I get that big spoon of that gravy, and I throw that some of that on top of my potatoes and dash a little bit on my eggs. I grab me one of them Shoney's biscuits. Then I run over there and I get me a wad of bacon about this big around. Amen. About half the size of a football, and throw on there, and throw me a couple of slices of sausage, and then we'll go get started. Amen. Amen. Hey, if I'm going to go to cookout, I always get the same thing. I get a big double with fries and a side of and coleslaw. Amen. Hey, if I go to Cracker Barrel, I just about always get chicken and dumplings, okra, pinto beans, cornbread, and unsweet tea with extra sugar. Amen. Now, if I go to Steak and Shake, I'm going to get a foot long and fries. Amen. If I go to Cheddar's, I'm going to get the crispy chicken tender salad. And if I go to Outback, my wife and I are going to split a 12-ounce sirloin. We're going to get a baked potato with butter and butter. And we're going to get a salad with ranch dressing, unsweet tea with extra sugar. Amen. And so, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying I don't like change. I don't like change. Hey, and I understand. I mean, when I came to Cedar Ridge, hardly anybody had a cell phone. Matter of fact, hardly anybody had it. And so I understand there's technology changes, and we live in a changing world, but there's some things. Hey, don't mess with my toothbrush, amen? Leave it alone. Hey, some things just need to be left alone. Hey, amen. Hey, some things need to be left alone. Let's get into the message here, okay? First of all, let's get started here. Let me say this. Jesus needs to be left alone. I'm talking about the person of Christ. I'm talking about the character of Christ. Hey, I'm talking about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Leave it alone. Amen. Hey, some of the new Bibles, they want to take that word virgin out, and they put a young maiden or a young woman there. I got news for you. There's a difference in a young woman. There can be a difference in a young woman and a virgin. Amen? And, just leave it alone. Leave it alone. Hey, the sinless life of Christ. You see, they want to take that verse where it says that he that is angry without a cause, with his brother without a cause, is guilty of sin. And basically, I'm paraphrasing here. Well, some of the new Bibles leave that little phrase without a cause out. He that is angry is guilty of sin. You say, well, preacher, that's not a really big deal. Well, yeah, it is a really big deal. Because you see, Jesus was furious when he went into the temple and he cleansed the temple. I mean, I believe it was an ugly scene. He went in there, he made him a whip, and he throwed the tables over. I believe doves flew everywhere. Money flew everywhere. It was a nasty, ugly, embarrassing scene. And Christ was angry. You see, when you leave that little phrase out, when you mess with God's word, and we'll get to that in the next 30 minutes here somewhere. But when you mess with that, my friend, you're tampering with the person of Christ. Amen. You just made our leaving that little phrase without a cause out, you just made our Savior a sinner. And so, hey, some things just need to be left alone. Hey, the virgin birth, the sinless life. Hey, the sacrificial death. I'm going to tell you, Jesus didn't die for anything he did. He didn't die for himself. Daniel chapter 9 says, it talks about in the middle of that, at a certain time, that Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. I want to tell you something, my friend. Christ didn't die for himself. It was a sacrificial death. He died for others. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, my friend. Just leave it alone. Hey, the literal return. The literal return. Let me say this, my friend. I believe Jesus is coming back. Well, you know, we've been talking about that for years and years and years. It's never happened. So, you know, maybe we just need to put all that millennial stuff and all that eschatology stuff that you can't understand anyhow. Maybe we just need to put all that stuff aside and just preach Jesus. And I agree we need to preach Jesus. But I'm going to tell you something. He's coming back. He's coming back. Hey, I said he's coming back, I believe, literally. I'm not talking about the kingdom of God is within you. And all. I'm talking about Jesus is coming back. I'm talking about the book of Zechariah says they'll look on him whom they pierced and they're going to say, heard you get these wounds in your hands. He said, I got them in the house of my friends. They're going to see him. They're going to see him physically. They'll see those hands. Amen. He's coming back. The literal return of Jesus Christ. Matthew 21:42, Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stones which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. We referred to this verse a minute ago, Acts 1:11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Acts 2:36, the Bible says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Hey, Jesus Christ needs to be left alone. Amen. Hey, the Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever, my friend. Hey, some things just need to be left alone. The person and the doctrine of Christ needs to be left alone. Let me say this, my friend. Our Bible doctrine, here we go. Hey, the Godhead needs to be left alone. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm going to tell you something. Let me tell you a doctrine that all the cults hate. It's the doctrine of the Trinity. The Trinity. The Jehovah's Witnesses don't like it. The Mormons don't like it. And there's others and others and others goes on. They don't like it. By the way, let me just throw this out there. It has nothing to do with the message. But many of the cults, maybe most, but many of the cults have been started because they tried to name a date that Jesus was coming back. Amen? They tried to name a date. Hey, Jesus said no man knows the day or the hour. Amen? Hey, he is coming back, but my friend, no man knows the day or the hour. But I'm talking about the Godhead. Hey, the Trinity. You say, preacher, explain that to me. No way, no how. I can't explain it. I can't even understand it. But you say, well, preacher, do you believe it? I believe it. Amen? The Bible says there in 1 John 1:7, I think it is, or 5:7, it says there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hey, my friend, I'm going to tell you, I think about the conversation. I asked our church one time in the early days, many years ago, I read that verse in there where it says, let us make man in our image. I said, who's he talking to? He said, I guess the angels. I got news for you. You're not created in the image of an angel. Amen. Bible says we're created in the image of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit had a conversation, and one of them spoke up and said, let us make man in our image. There's the Trinity. There's the Godhead. John 1:1, you know the verse, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You say, well, preacher, who's that talking about? Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father. I don't understand it. I can't make everything fit and work. I just accept it, my friend. Jesus was God in the flesh. Amen. I heard one fellow say it this way. He said God became man. Without ceasing to be God. Now, I don't understand that, but I believe it. Amen? You see, Christ was God in the flesh. And then you get over there in the book of Acts where it talks about that the Holy Spirit, he said, you've not lied unto men. Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? You've not lied unto men, but unto God. I think about the Trinity. I think about the attributes of God. The Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. We live in a day and age that everybody wants to make an excuse, and everybody wants to, so many people want to bring God down to our level. You can't do that, my friend. Jesus was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He was perfect, and he who knew no sin became sin for us. He hung on the cross so that you could be brought up to God's level. Amen. God is all-powerful. He's all-knowing. I heard a great message one time. I may have referred to it here, but a preacher preached, and he talked about reading Zacchaeus' mind. Remember Zacchaeus? He is a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree and for the Savior he wanted to see. And there is, as Jesus walked up that day, came passing by, and he looked up, and he saw Zacchaeus in a tree, and he said, and he called his name. He said, Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus thought to himself, he knows me. And then he went on down and he said some other things and he called his name. He said, come down. He said, I'm going to your house today. And said, he loves me. went on, salvation's come to your house today. You see, God knows all about you. I heard somebody say one time that one of the most amazing things about God is this: He knows all about me, but loves me anyhow. Amen? He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's omnipresent. That means He's everywhere. There in the book of Psalms it says, where can I flee from His presence? If I take the wings of this, and if I go here, He's there. If I make my bed in heaven, He's there. If I make my abode in hell, He's there. He's everywhere. Malachi 3:6 says, I am of the Lord, I change not. The last part of that verse, it says, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. God was upset with Israel. And what He was saying here is, the only reason you're not dead is because I made you a promise. Aren't you glad God keeps His promises? Aren't you glad that He never changes? Well, I know I promised I'd save you, but man, you've been a rascal since you got saved, and I think I'm just going to change my mind. Sounds like some people I know, amen? Aren't you glad God don't change? He remains the same. Let me say this, my friend. We need to leave the person of Christ alone. We need to leave the Godhead alone. But let me say this. We need to leave God's book alone. I know you know this. Listen, I'm not teaching you any new thing today. I know you know this. But I'm going to tell you, this old book changed my life. I based my salvation upon the promises of this book. I raised my three daughters from the principles of this book. I'll never forget years ago working at a foundry in Chattanooga, Tennessee. A friend of mine, I was working there along beside him. I got to tell him what I thought about my thoughts and of course, on the family, the way the husband treats the wife, and the husband's to be the head of the wife, and he's to love his wife and all those things. Raise your children up. I told him about standards. I believe there's certain places. I'm going to tell you something. There's certain places Christians don't belong. Amen? There's certain types of music that Christians ought not listen to. There's certain, and on the list goes. And I shared some of those things with him, and he looked at me, and he said with some force in his, he said, are you crazy? They'll grow up and hate your guts. Kick it out. You see, what I was giving him was the Word of God. A lot of times people don't want to hear those things. I mean, in the day and age we live in, people don't want to hear that the husband's to be the head of the wife. Amen? That he's to rule his house and he's to rule the children. Children are to obey their parents in the Lord. And hey, daddies, that provoke not your children to wrath. Amen. Love your wife. I don't know how many home situations I've dealt with, the old boy thought he'd run around beating his chest and say, bless God, woman, you're supposed to listen to me, you're supposed to obey me, and he didn't love his wife. Now he can't understand why she wants nothing to do with him. Fellas, you got to love her. She won't mind following you if you'll love her, if you'll be good to her. No woman will mind the husband being the king of the home as long as she's treated like the queen. Amen. God's book. Now I done got off in the home. That's my next point. Let me just give you a couple of verses. You know them. Revelation chapter 22. Three times in the Bible. In Deuteronomy, the Bible says, leave it alone. Leave it alone. Hey, don't mess with God's book. I heard Lester Olof say probably 40 years ago, he said, don't rewrite the Bible, just reread it. Amen. Revelation 22:18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. You say, preacher, explain that verse to me. I can't explain all of it. There's things that's mentioned there that I can't explain all of it. But I'll tell you what I do understand. I understand enough about those two verses to leave the book alone. Amen? to leave the book alone. In the book of Proverbs, it says, the words of the Lord are pure words. Thy word is very pure, it says in another place. And then it says, thou shalt not add unto it. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, just leave it the same. When I was a young preacher, in my 20s, 18, 19, I'd preach, and I might make reference to the home like I did a minute ago. And I saw the buttered up saints sitting out there, and they'd roll their eyes. What does he know about the home? He's not even married yet. What does he know about the home? He's just been married 6 months. What does he know about the home? Well, I'll tell you what I did know. You see, I was giving them the book here. Matter of fact, it kind of reminded me of the verse where that God told, I think it was Jeremiah, he said, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. Don't take it personal. See, this book cuts, amen? Hey, this is a powerful book. It's a pure book. It's a preserved book. Just leave it alone. Just read it. Obey it. It'll work in your life, amen? Let me hurry up here. Let me say this. Our Bible doctrine, our dear brother in Sunday school mentioned doctrine a few minutes ago. I had a deacon tell me one time, oh, preacher, I don't care too much about doctrine. I'll tell you something, doctrine's what we believe, amen? It does matter to me what you believe. If you go to join the Cedar Ridge Baptist Church or if you go to join the Crossroads Baptist Church, I'll guarantee you it matters to Pastor Dixon what you believe. You better be, you know, now there's some things you can be off on, but I'm going to tell you something. When it comes to the deity of Jesus Christ, you can't be off on that, amen? You see, I believe that Jesus was a sinless, spotless Lamb of God. I believe that's what John the Baptist had in mind when he said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. The deity of Christ. Hey, the inspiration, the God breathed this book. I believe God gave us this book, folks. Oh, just a bunch of fellas got together and pinned that thing down. Yeah, there's some guys pinned that thing down. Holy men of old, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, over a period of about 1,500 years, most of the guys didn't know each other, and yet from Genesis to Revelation, over a period of 1,500 years, many of those guys never knew each other. My friend, everything is right, amen? There's a consistency throughout the Scriptures. I heard somebody say, you cut this book, it bleeds the blood of Jesus, amen? My friend, I believe Christ is the central theme throughout the book. In the Garden of Eden, in the book of Genesis, the seed of the woman, that's Jesus, will bruise the head of the serpent, amen? In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's the lamb, and right on through, my friend. Our Bible doctrine needs to be left alone. I'm talking about the inspiration of Scripture. I'm talking about a place called heaven with golden streets. I'm talking about a place called hell with fire and brimstone where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You don't hear much preaching about that anymore. It's a Bible doctrine. Well, people, hell makes people uncomfortable. Good. You want to know something, folks? I walked the aisle as a 10-year-old boy. As a matter of fact, Brother Danny, I'm hurrying. I'll be through in 5 minutes, okay? God willing. That's the best amen I've had out of him. Hey, I think it was last Tuesday, maybe Tuesday 2 weeks ago. I went to Kentucky Fried Chicken. I always get the buffet there too, amen? Went to KFC in Lenore City. Went down there and spent some time with my brother. Is this mine? Hallelujah. That just added 30 minutes to the message. I'm teasing. I'm sitting there talking to my brother, and a guy walks up and says something, cracks some kind of a joke, and I looked up. It's a fellow by the name of Ricky Holt. The night I got saved, I was sitting over on this side in the tent revival. I wanted to get saved. I didn't want to get up in front of those people. And Ricky Holt come and put his arm around me, asked me if I was saved, and I lied to him and told him, yeah. We talked for a minute. I came forward, and I prayed and asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I bet it's been at least 30 years since I've seen Ricky. I ran into him the other night. I said, Rick, I don't know if you remember this or not, but I thanked him for the night that he came over, and he put his arm around me. And he walked me down the aisle. He just encouraged me. He didn't force me to go. But he put his arm around me and walked down the aisle. And I came and trusted Jesus as Savior. Hey, I didn't get saved because I wanted to go to heaven. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. I'm talking about the, hey, we could go on. Let me give you this. We're through. Leave it alone. Leave the Bible doctrine alone. Hey, the eschatology, the rapture of the church, the 7-year tribulation, 3.5 years of tribulation, 3.5 years of great tribulation, the second coming of Christ in glory, that white horse, it's going to happen. Amen? The 1,000-year reign of Christ, it's going to happen. Just leave it alone. Last of all, brother, you did it. You got me on this again this morning. Over in the book of Galatians, chapter 1. There, along about verse 6, he said, I marvel that you're so soon removed unto another gospel. I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's only one gospel that'll get you to heaven. There's only one. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, folks, that word accursed is a strong word there. That literally means let him be doomed, let him be damned. Literally, it means let him go to hell. Leave it alone. You see, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Well, what gospel is he talking about? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God. Over there in 1 Corinthians 15, for I delivered unto you first of all the gospel which I also received. You see, Brother Dixon and Brother Brandon, and there's other good preachers, that we preach the same gospel that Jesus, that the Apostle Paul preached. Amen. We preach the gospel of Christ. I have a message that I preach out of Romans 1 there. Why was Paul not ashamed of the gospel? First of all, because of its person. It's the gospel of Christ. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel because of its power. It's the power of God unto salvation. It will save. It'll get the job done. Amen? The gospel of Christ. It's powerful. It's a personal gospel. It is the gospel of Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. My friend, if you want to get saved today, there's only one way to get saved. It's through the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a personal gospel. It's a personal gospel. That Philippians says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that is the name of Jesus. Amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, the same God. It's a personal gospel. Let me say this, my friend. It's a powerful gospel. It's a powerful gospel. The Bible says he's able to save them to the uttermost. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. My friend, knows that it's a personal gospel and a powerful gospel, but it's a protected gospel. I've already quoted the verse, Galatians 1, verse 8 and 9. Leave it alone. Hey, I know they're bringing the drums in. I know they're rocking it out. I know that we've got our new methods and our new dress code, I don't like those clear pulpits. I hope you don't ever get a clear pulpit. Man, what are you going to do if you get, you know. I preached behind one here a few weeks ago. It made me nervous, okay? Hey, there's always something new coming on, and there's not necessarily something wrong with everything, but I'm going to tell you something, my friend. Leave it alone, amen? When it comes to the gospel of Christ, when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to the doctrines of the faith, my friend, just leave them alone. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hey, it's okay to use technology, but there's some things that need to stay the same. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:21, it says, my son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we love you today. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Lord, the Bible says that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It's an unchanging, unending word. Father, thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for our Savior. Lord, his promises do not change. Lord, his ability to save them to the uttermost has not changed. Lord, your warnings have not changed. Lord, if there's one here today that's never trusted Jesus as Savior, Father, I pray that they'll look to the unchanging one. I pray that they'll look to the only one that can save them. And Father, I pray for those of us that are saved. And Lord, maybe somebody's thinking. They're entertaining the thoughts of going to one of the new thumpity-thump and churches that are rocking it out. And Lord, just come as you are. Come any old way. Just, Lord, I pray, God, that you'll help us. Father, I love this church. I'm a fundamental Baptist, Father. I pray that when Emily's 29 and 39 and 49, if Jesus doesn't come back, when she's 59 and 69, I pray that she'll be found a fundamental Baptist, that she hadn't changed. I pray for these kids, Father. I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to get a hold of something that's real and powerful. And, Lord, hang on to it. Bless now the invitation. Lord, save that soul that's nearest hell. Lord, that Christian that needs you, that needs to get right, I pray that they would today in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Dixon, why don't you come on and take the invitation, sir? Thank you for the